And hello, everyone. Welcome back to our first session back to the SCP Black Files podcast. I am your host, the Administrator, and this is my party. Fisherman, Husky Wolf, and Bad Rhino.
Hello.
We've been on a two-week hiatus here over the holiday season, and we're back in action. Matters of business. I think we should first... I want to put out a small apology for the audio quality on last episode. I know it was a bit finicky, but we were trying to get last episode out before the hallways, and we were rushing a little bit. Back to standard. A lot more editing is going to be going in now that we're back from the holiday season, and yeah. Otherwise, unless anyone else has some matters to discuss, I think it's time to jump straight into today's session.
Sounds good.
Go.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we are coming back to the party following their helicopter ride, and they are touching down probably about 30 minutes out from Chicago at a small foundation base. As you're all unloading off this helicopter, probably taking a few waylays in between, but this is the final stop. You're being unloaded off with your duffel bags and equipment and all that on you. And you are going to be heading into the site to meet with the site director. You have not been introduced. So when you get inside, come through the front doorways in through the main administrative entrance, leading you into some of the back rooms after probably going through a key card swipe, at which point you are guided to a set of conference rooms to meet with a site executive, the site security executive for regional security.
Once we all get to him, I'll stand at attention and salute.
No need for that. Pleasure, teams. We're going to be getting to business around here, and I am Security Director Naylor, and I'm going to be guiding your field operations in the area as your overwatch. Understood?
Got it.
Understood.
Yep.
Okay.
You are performing field intelligence operations for Site 016. And we are currently on the hunt for a identified book from the library of Mr. Peel. Let me double check that. Yeah, sorry, Mr. Penn. Like many other instances in his library, this has seriously hazardous effects for those who come into contact with it. Be careful.
What kind of effects can this book have?
Frontal reconnaissance has identified the victims as experiencing full body tissue mutilation. Their bodies, after ripping themselves apart, will later start to decompose in a matter of seconds and desiccate into a black mush, would be the way to describe it.
Don't touch the book.
No. These books are more aggressive.
Oh, bitey books.
In some ways, describe them as alive.
No, not at all. Tools. Tools. They are being used. Yeah, gotcha. We have a few prospective possible suspects in the region. We're currently still hunting for the ties, though.
Can we burn the books?
Your choice in the end. We'd prefer to bring them into containment, but if it's deemed to be too much of a threat, or if accidents occur, burning is one of our end solutions. Please attempt all measures possible to secure the object for staff use and examination.
My apologies if this is out of line, but we're kind of new to this. Is there a bonus for containment versus elimination?
I personally do not hand out bonuses for containment efforts. I would actually be setting out penalties for failure to contain the objects.
I mean, well,
right, okay.
Let's say you do the best job possible, most like a good attention on you. Like you're good at your job, so they buff your rank.
Right,
that's kind of what they do.
So you're security, if someone killed it instead of putting it in the cell, then that's bad. But for us, since we're going into the field, Should I just ask the next commander?
You are acting as a reconnaissance and containment team for this operation. So ideal target is to ascertain the location of the object, contain it, and bring it in for Foundation study.
Okay.
I'd say you need a lot of proof that, you know, burning it was the best option.
Out of curiosity, could I get clearance to have a flamethrower?
No.
Oh, damn. Maybe I'll find some matches somewhere then.
I've been informed by your regional commander that you are recent joinees. You're with Whiskey 42. They're kind of one of our intro divisions in the area.
Gotcha. We're part of... Did you say Whiskey 42?
Yeah.
You know, your group is definitely funny with names. And I thought the UIU was picky.
How much training did you go through before you joined the military? Wait, no, right, you're just a... What was it, reporter? Field reporter? No. Whatever you do, put the paranormal stuff.
We can confirm he is neither a field reporter or a something to do with the paranormal. He is indubitably involved with the paranormal.
I feel like that was like an insult, but I can't tell.
Well, I can very clearly see that he wasn't part of this group before. I assume his other group was just a fake group of civilians that thought they knew what the paranormal was, essentially.
All right, though. I see you folks came in with equipment today. Past that, there's not too much mission specific. I assume you have common clothes with you as needed. This is equipment.
Well, actually, regarding common clothes, you don't happen to have a lab coat lying around anywhere, do you?
What kind of lab coat are we talking? Are we talking standard biological hazard coat? Are we talking anti-fire, anti-water? Are we talking permeation resistant? What are we...
I'm talking about a suit...
I can sum up his story very quickly. He had a lab coat. He tied it to a tree. He ended up in the hospital. When we went back for the lab coat, it was gone.
Well,
you'd have to talk to requisitions for that.
Yeah, just that there may or may not be certain substances in there that may cause its disappearance. So I figured you people have knowledge, so you may be able to track that kind of thing.
Hey,
what did you have in the coat, Norik?
A bunch of broken glass and other things I picked up along my travels.
Why would that be important right now?
Why would that make the coat run away?
Right.
Well, look, he said if we had civilian clothes, I'm just trying to find my lab coat.
Wait, you just said that they were going to track down your coat because it was, spooky? What's spooky about your coat?
Spooky coat, Jesus.
Look, let's just get to work.
Yes. We're going to be equipping you with a unmarked vehicle. It's a 2012... Toyota Corolla. That should be covering you for this operation.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll have housing accommodations on site. We got a few primary leads. We got a few prior associates with Mr. Penn, who are potential recipients of this article. We have a few records of purchase of this book before it's kind of fallen off the track after a theft. Otherwise, we don't have too much. The field teams that you'll be joining not too informed on the current whereabouts of the object.
So we're trying to find who stole the book and question them?
You're trying to identify the current location of the book.
And it would probably be with the person that stole it, I'm assuming.
Your call, really?
How many copies currently exist not in containment?
Of this specific instance, this is our current only documented copy of the book. So we do have records of the victims and their loved ones. So if you want to go get the question, then that's a solid avenue. Otherwise, police records might be able to assist you of pulling that original theft to start interrogating the, Rod. Let's be, the one who got burglarized.
Gotcha.
Okay. Is there anything else we should know before we head out besides the family and the person that was burglarized questioning them?
Nothing actually.
And to try not to burn the book.
Do not destroy the object. Any required mission equipment can be provided in situ as needed. You will be hooked up to Stan Foundation frequency via your earpieces.
Are there going to be other support teams around for us, or is there a site nearby?
Yeah. We are currently 30 minutes out from center of Chicago, so expiration shouldn't be too... You are 30 minutes south of central Chicago,
Jacob,
so it shouldn't be too difficult. Yeah, get a record... Where was I? Sorry, just lost... Got hit by a bit of deja vu there. That's bizarre. Yeah, I'd recommend getting in the field sign to interview witnesses as listed on the documents my associates will be passing you in just a moment here. Otherwise, I think that's most of the forward intel I can provide to you folks.
Okay. So I guess
thank
this
you
is
for the help.
So I guess since we just got off the plane and got finished talking with the guy, I kind of look around and I kind of turn. So this is Chicago, yes?
Yes, you are in the southern suburbs of Chicago currently.
I kind of try to get my bearings while I'm looking around. So can you describe kind of like what it is like around this area? Like you said it's a suburb, so I guess there's just a bunch of houses clumped together.
So when you're flying overhead, you actually are at the edge of a small industrial warehouse district, where one of the warehouses has been requisitioned and turned into a small site.
Okay.
For, it seems to be general inanimate containment of Lotus Conduits.
Okay. So, the addresses of the people we're going to be have to question, I assume, are going to be on these papers you're going to pass out?
Yeah, it'll be in those.
Okay.
We'll get those passed over to you in just a moment here. Otherwise, we'll be getting you folks to your rooms for your stay in the region.
I hope we get another place out in the woods. That was nice.
You'll be in on-site staff quarters for this operation.
Staff quarters...
At least there's people.
Double set of barracks.
Ah, so our old rooms, but a little bit smaller.
Two friends.
Oh.
Are we all going to be in the same quarters?
Yep.
Oh boy, I get to spend more time with you lovely people.
They would. Staff quarters are designed to hold up to four persons. And function as miniature holding chambers, but meh.
On that note, actually, are we going to be meeting our team soon? We were told that there's a Jacob Evericci and Harvey Summers.
They were somewhere. Yeah, one moment. Jack. Yeah, Jacob. Jacob. He seems to have taken a step to the side to start checking through some notes. Jacob Evericci. Sorry, my notes have been a little scattered recently as I'm doing some observational stuff right now.
And while we're on that room note, does whiskey count as equipment?
No.
I'm afraid that the only whiskey you're going to be getting is from the team we're working with. Let's see, Whiskey 42, I believe he said.
I forgot that's what that was called.
How ironic.
Yes, well,
Maybe we can send you to the bar for a recon mission or something.
What time of the year is it currently?
Probably late summer, early fall.
I'd like to think Norik just didn't know what year it was.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, just like my character says that out loud. Hey, what season is
what
this?
What decade is it?
Yeah. The other one, I can't identify the other guy for you. Jacob F. Ricci, we do have him on hand. He should be easily accessible to the party. He's in region... He seems to be one of our marked sellers for MC&D. I think there was some mix-up in information for you folks.
MC&D?
Group of interest, GY, something or another.
Okay.
I have the number on Mark somewhere. I don't ever act with them much. Basically, they sell odds and ends that are generally anomalous.
So, is he a field doctor then?
He is a field contact. I don't know where the hell they got doctor from.
Okay, well, so it's well just set up. It is just going to be us three then on the field, and then Overwatch.
That is what I was informed of.
Okay, just wanted to get that set straight because I was going to be looking for another person, especially since you said four. Anyway,
That should cover most of your equipment and personnel needs.
Will y'all be providing food?
Yes, there'll be on-site food. Most, you'll probably want to eat out most of the time, though.
Okay. Thank you.
Like the last place.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
Don't let him start talking about pizza night. Don't let him start.
Yeah. Let's get you folks over to your staffing quarters. Then we can... I know you've had a bit of a flight to go here.
Yeah. As we're walking, I just kind of walk up to Husky, or to
Craig.
You know, I'm not feeling too well. Maybe it was the plane ride up here. I'm just not feeling it today.
It's probably jet lag. I'm like in front of you, already like heading out.
Yeah, give it a couple hours. If you still feel sick, maybe there's something wrong.
No, it's not sick. It's, you wouldn't understand.
Can I, like, read Norik real quick? He's being so cagey about something.
I can't talk.
This is the second time he's referenced, like, the paranormal or something I don't understand.
I'm leaning towards an empathy roll for that.
I have a lot of things.
Charisma with... If you don't have a staff roll, what?
Right.
Alright.
Awesome.
Taking on with the other... With one. So yeah, tell me of the empathy roll actually.
8 and 6.6.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting much out of me.
What is your cognitive resistance?
Oh, actually, never mind. If we're going off cognitive resistance,
I like that.
Okay, so yeah, let's see. My cognitive resistance is a 1.
Get it.
So people read him like a book. So,
yeah, Norik's got that. Is it low enough where I give him a bonus, or have him? Nah, let's have him counter roll this. Give me.
There's bluff, I believe.
I guess bluff.
What type of roll do you want me to give you?
Lie. Actually, acting/lie with. Why are there both of those?
Because one is for actively, like... I guess acting is... It should just be acting. Lying is a different skills, but... Ooh, anyway.
Hey, give you an acting
roll? No. Yeah, that'd be the one. But I'm confused if there's a bluff also. Why would we have both?
There may not be.
I mean, I could see it being acting/bluff.
Right, that's what I was saying.
Acting and bluffing and then bluff, kind of weird.
I got 15... I got 15.2.
Alright, so that's a bit more what I was expecting. Norik's mental shields activate. You look him in the eyes, trying to read what he's thinking.
Probably about pizza.
The only thing you see whenever you look into my eyes is my desire for lab coat. You can't see any of my emotions behind lab coat, I'm sorry.
His lab coat lust outnumbers anything you could have ever
50%
read.
Lab coat. 50%.
The lab coat isn't lost. It's within you.
Alright. But as you are all being led off to your dormitory for this part of the mission, for this period of time, let's rephrase, I think that's a perfect time to call this episode's first part to a close. And welcome back to part two of the SCP Black Files podcast. I'm the administrator, and we're coming back as the party has arrived in their dormitories and in a few moments to rest, drop any equipment they would have for their personal selves, toiletries, all that.
Okay.
These are some moderately furnished dormitories. They're about, the room itself is probably about 14 feet in length, 10 feet in width, and there's two sets of bunk beds, metal racks, and the room itself is concrete brick, cement brick wall painted over, slacked over, kind of more, and then the floor is a solid stone concrete. In between the two sets of bunk beds, there is a central set of lockers. Four smaller lockers, two on top of the other two.
I would definitely go put my stuff in there.
And there's also a small bathroom. Small bathroom connected at the, as you're coming in, to your right.
Yeah, well, okay. At least we have our own bathroom, guys.
It does seem to be showerless, though. That might be somewhere else in the facility.
Okay.
You see on the beds your dossiers of information have been placed.
I go on ahead and I pick up one of the pieces of paper.
On it, there seem to be a variety of addresses, phone numbers, contact information for persons. They seem to be ripped from a police report from somewhere.
Okay.
Other than that, the addresses are connected. You see one page is marked out as victims/family members. Over, it looks to be about seven of the photos, there are symbols that say deceased, or there's deceased markings.
How many living family members are there?
The family members overall, well, it's multiple families. So the family members do not seem to be deceased.
Do you think we'll be able to get any good questioning out of the family members, considering how they may still be grieving over their, you know, family's deaths?
So, I was actually thinking up over here.
What's your plan?
There's multiple ways we can probably go through. The regular old that we usually do is like, we're just bystanders, curious. Like, we're working with law enforcement to find them. But that's probably too much identification and you have to do. We always could say, one of the families hired an investigator.
So
that's a good idea.
Ungia, real quickly, so does my character know anything about amnestics, considering he was getting some kind of treatment, I believe, with them?
Interesting. Give me an SCP/occult roll.
Okay, sure thing.
Specialty is applicable if you have something related to amnestics.
If he is gonna ask something, which he probably is about, will I know if they will even use it on the family member? Because I don't think they would really care too much.
I got a 9.8.
You aren't probably too knowledgeable.
You don't remember.
Yep, you don't remember. That's perfect.
Fair enough.
So to answer, you think you may have known something at some point. You seem to have forgotten.
Okay.
So I was thinking, we can always stop somewhere and just get like old investigator get up, except for that'd probably be pretty cheesy if you walk in with like all of us wearing like a brown like duster kind of thing and like a fedora, and it's like, yeah, we're investigators. But what if, I think if we just climb where it work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing the reintroduction of the Chicago spirit into the region.
Norik, do you have anything law-related or enough intelligence to pull that off? Because we could see what the laws for private investigators are, kind of prepare in case someone does.
Honestly, thinking about who we work for and where we are, it's probably fake, like, PI.
You're right, actually. The big thing is would just be a license, but if we can get a PI license from here, then we're set.
I don't know anyone from the family that is probably going to look at that and be like, that's fake. You can tell because of these things, but...
Yeah.
Could... So this is, like, me not in character. Can you remind me what year this is taking place in again?
No, Norik forgot the year.
It is 2014. The year is currently 2014.
Oh, okay. So I guess I look at the group. We all have some kind... you were in the military, I believe, some branch of the military, right, Craig?
And yeah, we were working together in a branch of... military.
Do you think maybe if I sent out a request to some of our old higher-ups, maybe we could get someone to look into them?
That's not a question for myself. I have no idea what our old higher-ups think we're doing right now. No clue. That's true.
They may think we're dead, actually. I don't know what this organization we're working for now has told them. Well,
They told me they had it handled. I don't know what that means.
Let me tell you, that would make it 10 times funnier if you just call them up and they think you're dead.
That, or if it's just a completely different person.
You know that? Now you've got me curious.
Nah, you shouldn't listen.
Rhino, please roll me a SCP occult roll.
Sure thing. That's probably not going to be good, but that's okay.
Don't you have, like, a 4.0 in it?
I'm honestly looking for it. There it is. No, I do not.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculously high.
No, that that's Delta Green.
That doesn't matter.
I'm curious, did it only roll 2 dice? Oh,
are there...
Okay, never mind.
Are there any payphones in this facility?
Phones. You probably have a personal cell phone.
Okay, I'd like to... 7, by the way. I'd like to flip it out, just dial the number of my old boss and ring it up and see if anyone responds.
Give me a fate roll.
Can I actually stop him? Because I just gave him that idea, and I know exactly what he's going to do if he pulls his phone out.
I got a 10.
You rolled a 10?
Uh-huh.
Could I stop him before he has to roll the fate roll, though? Because I wouldn't want him to make that call.
How many dex dice do you have?
3d8.
Fish?
I have 2d10 and 4d8.
Oh, yeah, I'm giving that to Fish. Yeah. Oh yeah, Fish takes the initiative. Let's say, so Fish,
mm-hmm.
you whip out the phone, and you see Huskies start like Craig's starting to come over, and you hear from the phone,
"This number is no longer in service."
I'm just like,
"Please attempt to redial or call again."
I don't think that's a good idea. You shouldn't be doing that. I have no idea what they did. Wait, you're hanging up? Okay.
Yeah, I think. They disconnected his number.
Oh. Well, yeah, that's maybe pretty effective.
Yeah, maybe they just kind of, I don't know, changed our boss's old insurance provider or something. I don't know. Maybe got a new phone.
So did 11.7 do... Is that enough? Pretty average roll, but...
Yeah, as you're thinking to it, as they're making the phone call, you get the thought process in your head. Yeah, I think I read somewhere in Foundation Codex that they've, like, standard procedure for new employees. You worked in recruitment for a while?
Yeah.
Standard procedure is to just go casually remove general contacts that cannot be lied to as easily.
So, you mean remove, like they remove the...
You don't remember what remove entails.
I feel like I can assume what remove entails.
It could... You can't remember if it's amnesticize or if it is straight termination, if it is extended vacation.
Or reassignment.
Yeah, there's a good deal of possibilities. All the section, it probably leads into a few subsections that you don't remember as well, talking about how to do it.
Why waste someone with termination?
I kind of just sit back in the bed for a minute, because I assume there's a bed in our living quarters. Kind of look over to him. Man, that's kind of disappointing. I wanted to apologize for all the trouble I put him through whenever I broke my legs.
He's probably perfectly fine. Don't worry about it.
He's in a very happy place right now, I'm very sure.
He was not a happy man. I wouldn't be surprised if I gave him a damn aneurysm.
Trust me, I'm sure the Foundation has treated him very well.
You know,
he is no longer having an aneurysm, no matter what happens.
You know, I was thinking the best for him, because that's normally how I think. But after I had that talk with that doctor, yes, his name was Dr. Carnegie, and how they handled things, I am very worried for our boss. That Carnegie is a very shady individual, let me tell you.
One moment, I don't think... Is that the correct... I don't think that was the right name.
He's fine.
Well, I wrote it down whenever you introduced him.
I thought it was Conniger.
That is what it was.
Oh, I thought it was Carnegie, my bad.
Don't worry about it. Nothing.
I guess it's the amnestics kicking in.
Side effects.
Can I, talk to whoever I think would probably be the person to talk to, seeing if I can just get, a fake PI thing?
Yeah, that's gonna be... Of course, I don't have bureaucracy in this game, so...
Perception.
Intelligence with a backing... SCP occult, I keep calling for, but it's kind of the fitting one here.
So, you said intelligence with a backing of the occult? Nah, this...
God. I can't remember if there's an accounting skill or if it's law is the one that's there. That's what you're
looking. There is law and politics. Or general knowledge.
Nah, I think it's law and politics is the one I'll look for here.
Okay.
It's not a perfect connection, but it's as close as I'm going to get.
Don't worry.
Subpoena to add new skill.
One second. Okay, that's a 7.1.
So it probably takes you 40-50 minutes, and you seem to have acquiesced 3 IDs that will not hold up to intense scrutiny, but minor passing looks.
Okay. At least they weren't drawn with crayon.
I was like, the measure, there's not even laminated, there's pieces of paper. I think I got laminated.
So the party, though, you've got a bit more time, but do you guys have anything else you want to manage before you start getting back on the move?
Yes. Do any of these contacts have, you said they have addresses on them, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I look at the group. Well, I think I'm going to take our informant's advice whenever we first got here, and I think I'm gonna go have a pizza or a beer, something, goddammit. I'll be back later.
We'll drop you off. Remember, Nork, we have one car.
I don't know if I'm worth the gasoline, to be honest. I look down at my legs. I don't know. Maybe I could use the walk.
I was about to go for a cigarette.
Let's
anyway.
Be very clear. This is a 30-minute drive to Chicago.
We'll just drop you off where you need to go, Norik. You can go talk to the family. We'll have a meeting spot. You can call us and we'll pick you up after lunch.
Does Duke have a... Or does Craig have a phone on him?
I'd assume everyone
I
has
don't.
Phone.
Okay, do I have... Oh. Do I at least have Duke's phone number?
Probably not.
I look over at...
ask for it.
I look over at Duke. Just so I can get in contact with you in case anything happens... Here is my phone number, and I guess I tell it to him, and could I have yours, please?
Sure.
Says no, walks away.
I should've, but, you know.
We have... How long-range radios could be used for, while in the city?
I severely doubt you have a long-range radio besides, a ham unit.
Yeah.
Quick gameplay question. How much drive do you need to be considered able to drive without needing to make a roll to drive?
No, if you have zero, anyone can drive.
Zero.
That is for avoiding something or getting away from people.
That is when you are tactfully avoiding a horde of angry gunmen on a farm in the middle of nowhere. with copious amounts of gunfire flying around.
Well, let's say, okay, well, like, a priest with zero religion would be kind of weird. So a random person with no religion would be like, and it's zero, would be like a, you don't really know how to drive, but you can figure it out.
It is on the same idea that someone with a zero in firearms can still fire a gun.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I guess...
you are just not great at it. But that'd be like saying someone with a negative in resistance. Here's a better one. Having a negative in resist distress, then by that logic, would be saying you are constantly in a state of distress.
You know, I was gonna go out anyway. Yeah, I can just mess with you. When you need to pick you up.
Okay, so I get in the car with Duke. So without my lab coat, you know, I always wear civilian clothes. So I guess I look like a casual civilian. I don't know. Maybe I have like
a normal person.
Yeah. I'd take probably a concealed carry and then just normal civilian clothes.
Yeah, I guess I would have my pistol on me somewhere. I don't know, maybe in my pocket or something.
So what I'm hearing is you're both going out as normal.
I'm with going a pistol. As normal.
Yes.
I feel like we're all going as normal with like a concealed pistol.
Yeah, so normal
is
Americans.
You're making an assertion that's not normal. The party gets on the move.
Okay.
Yes.
So, where are you getting dropped off? Are you literally just asking to be dropped off at a restaurant?
So, yeah, whenever we get to the first restaurant, what I'm doing is, while I'm assuming I'm in the back, I get in the back seat, so I let Husky and Craig get in the front, Duke and Craig, if Craig is riding with us. And I'm looking at the addresses on the sheet, and I'm going to get off at one of the restaurants that's closest to one of the addresses.
Okay, I get that.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see how close I can find a restaurant for you.
I'm just, like, one-handed.
All right. You probably find somewhere about three blocks away from one of the housing addresses.
Okay. So I go on ahead and get out. What type of restaurant is this?
Hold on. Give me 1 second. I want to say something before we get there. While I was driving, I was just, like, one-handed driving. I was like, by the way, I got these bad boys. And I pull out, pass them around.
Oh,
could you believe it took me almost an hour for someone to point me to, like, be a printer in line? You know how many badges this place makes? And I could take me an hour to get this.
No, thank you.
No, it took you an hour to get three of them, and thank you.
All you have to do is just basically print them. So yeah. I was like, this place, every one of these stations are basically like a badge manufacturing plant.
That's crazy. Yeah, so
that was the only thing he said. That's crazy.
You get dropped off in front of what looks to be... If you have heard of Chicago Dollar Slice, that kind of idea, it's one of those.
Okay.
So it's a decently sized stall.
Okay.
With some folding tables out front, where probably a line stretching most of the block is.
Okay. So I go on ahead, and as I'm getting out, I look towards Duke and Craig. Well, you know how I just love pizza. Would either of you want anything?
Well, if you want to save me some, I'm not waiting in that line, but I'll take, like, two.
Okay, I'll remember that. Thank you, Craig.
Just make sure. Don't do anything crazy.
Oh, please. You know me. Like, I would never attempt to do anything crazy.
Like, Nork, you're missing an eye.
So if you think about whatever you're going to do, and you think it's similar to either jumping out a window, bringing, or raiding a hospital, do the opposite or tell us first.
Okay, I will not do any of those things. You have my word.
Or anything that even reminds you of those situations, please.
I will not do any of those things. You have my word.
Norik?
Yes?
I swear, if we have to clean something up again, or get you out of the hospital,
all things
we may just leave you behind.
All things considered, Norik, we're a team now, right?
Yes,
right.
We are a team.
Got each other's backs, right?
Everything...
You're making an assertion here. You were a team before.
Hey, everything I do is to benefit us. Even if, just remember that I'm a part of that us.
Right, you just happen to have a misguided way of doing certain things.
Before, it was kind of like, It was like three people that hung out because of like band class. It wasn't like we're in a like group. And now it's more like we're in like we hang out afterwards talking about band class. That's where we are right now, basically.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
All right. So you drop them off. I want to follow you two first because I don't really know where you two plan to go. Where are you guys going?
I figure Chicago's good. Where? What's our best lead on bookies right now?
Are we doing this? Okay, what time is it right now, by the way?
Probably 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock? Oh, jeez. For some reason, I thought it was, like, late. I thought it was, like, around night.
Friggin' the dollar slices lines going out the building 11 o'clock p.m.
I can see that.
To be honest, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're not 24-hour establishments, but they are essential to feeding many citizens of major cities.
I also love the idea that Norik is just going to be sitting there, like, he's going to invite them to, like, lunch, and then they're just going to be sitting in a line for, like, 20, 30 minutes for their food.
So
I very much doubt he is staying at that restaurant. Okay.
So, Craig, here's the thing. If he's actually getting pizza, then it ain't gonna take him a couple hours. So we might as well just blow off time while he's doing whatever and get started.
Oh, yeah. So what are you thinking?
I have an ingenious idea. I think it's even better than the investigator's idea.
Okay.
Let's go to a thrift store. Now let's look for a lab coat, dude. Let's look for a lab coat.
Are we going to lie to Norik and tell him we found it?
I didn't think of that. I thought it was more of like a don't be sad, look a lab coat.
Oh.
But we could just say we found it. But that could also work.
I
don't think it's
like,
going to work. I think he'll instantly know.
I want to see if one of us can sell it then.
Husky, roll an idea roll.
Here's my thought of that is like his paranormal investigator.
14. Husky, just say you got the coat dry cleaned.
Duke, we just tell him that we cleaned it. He won't tell the difference. We just run it through the dry cleaners, make it smell good, and he will not tell a difference. Guaranteed.
Okay. Give it like little stretch marks around the arms because like when he wrapped it around the tree and then like
buy it like I assume if you wore Norik's clothes you'd stretch him out a little bit. So we just like have you put it on and kinda like stretch it and then we run it through the dry cleaner and we're good.
We rip the inside of the pockets because of the glass?
Right.
Dude, okay, let's go. Let's go. Go team.
Yes.
These
are the objectives
time.
The party focuses on.
Well, when a third of your party is like...
A third of your party is actually trying to do things, two-thirds are ripping lab coats.
When one-third of your party is just going rogue, and two-thirds are trying to make the one-third not go rogue.
Screw it, you two, take a point of reverence. This is stupid enough on that part.
We're gonna go get a coat, quote-unquote, dry cleaned.
So are any purchases taking place with those reverence points?
Almost, but not yet. I just want to paint the scene. We go into like one of those like really cheap thrift stores and look around. And if we find a coat, they're gonna see us in the parking lot, just like giving the arms a bit of a stretch, like ripping the inside. They're like through the window. They're gonna be seeing it.
I like to think you do find the lab coat you're looking for. It looks close enough. Now I'm going to hop to the other portion of the party.
Okay. So
as you see them drive away, and your evil machinations may begin.
Okay. So real quickly about this person, I'd like to assume that on the ride here, I read the sheet about them extensively. I'd like to know their name and some of their hobbies and preferably their gender and all that kind of stuff.
All right. So it's Andrew Finnegan. He seems to be a... one sec, let me double-check my notes here. Daniel Finnegan is a mechanic who... I'm mixing up two profiles. He's a barista who works out of a small coffee shop known as Cappuccino. On the side, he seems to do stand-up comedy and poetry.
Okay.
If you were looking for the person, he had a sister who died.
Okay, so is he the victim or is it his sister?
His sister.
Okay, what about his sister?
That, she seems to be a low-level office worker. Moved to Chicago about 6 months ago. And following an extended period of disappearance, a police investigation happened into her house where they discovered her remains, at which point a foundation plant called in for foundation support, and DNA testing revealed the person to be his sister.
What is Andrew's sister's name?
Harper.
Okay.
So can I assume you're going straight to the house, disregarding anything that was said to you?
I try to, because I'm worried that they may be watching me, I try to sneak and go through alleyways, and I look very obvious while I'm doing it, but in my mind, I look like I'm badass sneaking, like being super stealthy, but it probably doesn't look like that at all.
So, didn't you say before, how much dexterity do you have again?
I have
stupid high.
I have 2d10 and 48.
But apparently he can't stealth, he's like clumsy.
No, dude, this man can stealth, he's lying. He is straight lying that this character can't stealth. This sucker could, like, friggin' finesse his way through walls with those stats.
You know, if he put the effort in, I'm sure he could.
He just never does.
But, you know, he hasn't hit that ketamine in a couple days, so, you know, he's not in that mode of mind right now.
So, I think as you are walking up to the front door, I think now is a perfect time to call tonight's session to a close. Thank you all for listening to this. Where was I? Thank you all for listening to this episode of the SCP Black Files podcast. I was your host, the administrator, and this is my party. We are produced using the SCP tabletop role-playing game system. We are produced under a CC BY SA 4.0 license. Turn to our description if you want to follow us on Twitter to find out what's happening and when it's happening, or follow us on any number of other platforms to get your podcast fix. Don't forget to share the podcast so we can keep growing, and we'll be back next week.